Lord, we thank you for the opportunities that you provide for us. We thank you, God, that above who we are, you stand complete. And Lord, it's through you that we have the opportunity to be here to worship today. It's through you that we have the opportunity, Lord, to serve. And Lord, I just give you the thanks and praise through what you have done for us. And God, I pray today that your redemption and who you are would reign true in us. And God, that we would shine your light. And Lord, I pray that you would work now as only you can. Give us your word and what you would have for us. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles with me to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. We're going to finish out Daniel today. I know we have a few different chapters in the middle, but you know, in those chapters, in chapters 10 and chapter 11, we see Daniel going through some situations very similar to what we are. We see a prophecy in chapter 11 that's very similar to what we have seen earlier with Antiochus Epiphanes and some history and several things that are happening. And as we come to the end of this chapter and end in this book, I wanted us to take this moment this morning to look here in chapter 12 to a specific word that Daniel has for us. And an idea that I want us to build upon. At the center of our galaxy, there is one star. One bright, powerful star. You know, if you go out to the beach without sunscreen, you're going to find out just how powerful that star is, aren't you? If you're outside at any point in any length of time in Texas, you're going to find out how strong that star is. It's one star that lights up our days. And it's one star at the center that all these planets revolve around. And because all the planets revolve around it, it's called a sun. And we have this one sun, this one star, and think of all the life that comes from it, the photosynthesis that happens and what we see that comes about because there is a sun that shines. And because it shines, there is life that takes place. This morning, as we finish out Daniel in Daniel chapter 12, I want us to see what Daniel shows for us and what he begins to bring this down to this point of those that are wise will shine. Those that are wise will shine. And in Daniel chapter 12, let's look at verses 1 through 4. And the scripture says, "At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, every one whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." Here we have Daniel, this great prophet, and we've been looking at the different prophecies in which he's had from chapter 7 on and all of these things. And here as we're getting to the end, Michael, this angel who has come to give Daniel some understanding of a vision, he's boiling it down for Daniel, and we see those words. And those words in verse 3, "And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." A verse I think that we should circle, a verse I think that we should memorize to understand, to keep before our mind of what we have an opportunity to do. that because of the light that is found through Jesus Christ, we have an opportunity to shine. And today I want to give you one sentence for your points, but I'm going to break it in two. One simple sentence, all right? One simple sentence. The wise will shine. The wise will shine. The first part we see there is the wise. Notice that in verse 3, and those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. So who are we talking about in this idea of the wise? When you look at this word wise and you understand what it means, it's giving us the idea of they have insight. In fact, in some of your translations, you might have that there. Those who have insight. You might have those who have understanding. You know, those who understand what's happening. They have an insight. They have a wisdom to what's happening. They shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. So we see the wise. Have you ever found somebody that was just really smart but had no common sense? Everybody that, you know, that they might have a lot of book learning but just can't seem to appropriate what to do with that. You know, some of our meal times around the table were quite interesting with my dad and my mom. And my mom was a math teacher, and my dad sometimes didn't quite get along with some of the academics and different things. And so they would have some very heated conversations about it. It was really interesting and comical now that I look back on it. At that time, it was a little scary. But you know, sometimes we can have smarts, but sometimes it's just all useless knowledge. Like if I was to ask DJ this morning about certain numbers of the Dallas Cowboys, he'd be able to tell you how many different people wore that number down through history. Like if I were to say the number 88, which is a very easy one, DJ would be able to list off. Useless knowledge, all right? So you have this idea of, you know, sometimes we have a lot of knowledge and it's there and sometimes it's useful, but to be wise is to know what to do with that knowledge. To be able to have insight is, I'm going to be able to take this knowledge and I'm going to be able to do something with this. And when we see this in context here in chapter 12 and verse 3, and those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. Who are the ones that are wise? Who are the ones that have the insight? Well, think about the context. What are we talking about here in chapter 12 as he begins? He's talking about the end. Notice there in verse 1, at that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge over your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. And he's speaking of that great tribulation that's to come, the Antichrist that's going to come. And here we saw the prophecies of that concerning the Antichrist at the end of chapter 9 and in chapter 7. And he's saying all of this at the end of chapter 11, where he had just finished talking about that Antichrist as well. And listen, he's talking about these times at the end. But at that time, your people shall be delivered. And notice here, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. When it comes down to it, there's the dividing line. Those whose name is written in the book. Now, how do you get your name written in a book? Do you have to do some great achievement? I mean, do you have to make straight A's? Do you have to be at work every day for a year? How do you get your name written in a book? Here's your who's who book. I don't know about you, but they are pretty pretty generous with who's who. I get emails almost once a week about, why don't you want to be included in who's who? You've been nominated. No, I've been nominated to buy something that you want to sell me, is what it is. How do you get written in this book? Through Jesus Christ. That's the book of life. Through Jesus Christ and having a personal relationship with Him, knowing that you have repented and asked Jesus to come into your life and that you've believed upon Him. That's how we are written into that book of life. And then notice the difference there. In verse 2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. He's speaking of that final resurrection in that day when we have Christ coming to set up His kingdom. Some are going to rise to everlasting life. Some are going to rise to everlasting shame. Those that are wise So what is that wisdom? That wisdom is understanding that there is an eternity. That wisdom is understanding that there is an everlasting life and that there is coming a day when Jesus is going to come again. And we can be wise and we can have understanding about that. But this true wisdom, this true insight comes when we do something with it. Other than just let it go through one ear and out the other. Those that are wise have an understanding that there is coming a day when Jesus is going to return, and we want our names written in the book of life. Not only our names, but we want our loved ones to be written in the book of life. We see the wise have an understanding. And listen, we see this comparison to light all throughout Scripture. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 43, "Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." And this is coming in the middle of an explanation of the parable of the sower, sowing the good seed, that there's going to be a harvest. It's going to come. This is going to happen. And because of that, the righteous will shine. That there has to be a wisdom. There has to be an understanding that there is coming a day when this is all going to pass away and Jesus is going to come and He's going to rule and He's going to reign. And that has to be a reality right here. That has to sink in. We see the wise. And what do the wise do? The wise will shine. The wise will shine. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Because of that understanding, because of that knowledge and what they have, and what they have through Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to shine that like the bright sky above, like that one sun that stands in the middle of our galaxy. We have the opportunity to spread light. We have the opportunity to spread life. These are those that turn many to righteousness. You see, this idea of shine and this idea of being wise is not just about what they know, it's about what they do with what they know. Look back in chapter 11 in verse 33. As Daniel was getting this prophecy of these end times, notice what it said about the wise in verse 33. "And the wise among the people shall make many understand, though for some days they shall stumble by the sword and flame and captivity and plunder." What do we see about the wise there? Here's their shining. The wise among the people shall make many understand. That there is a teaching. That there is a shining that if we understand it, if we have it, we're going to do something with it. We're going to shine it. We're going to tell somebody about it. You get a brand new car, you're going to show somebody. "Hey, look at this. Step inside. It smells like a new car." Not like French fries. Or maybe that's just people with lots of kids. But you know what? It's going to shine, and you're going to want to tell people about it because of Jesus Christ and because of what He's done for us. There should be something in us that says, "I want to shine this. I want people to understand this. I want people to know this." Because if this church is just here so we can just gather and sit here on a Sunday morning and not do anything with Jesus, we are here for the wrong reason. We are here to shine. We're here to let people understand, let people know that there is a Savior in Jesus Christ. And He transforms lives. He changes people. He is the opportunity that we have to live day by day. We have an opportunity to shine that. Because there's an understanding. Because there's a wisdom. You know, a lot of times we get going through the week and our wisdom gets a little low and we get away from the source of knowledge, and sometimes we need to be turned back to understanding. You know what? It is about Jesus. It is about Jesus. And I want to shine it. I want to give it out. I want people to see that. You know, this week, or actually yesterday, I was sitting in my office doing some studying, and I got a call from a guy named Rob. Rob was a trucker. You know why Rob called me? Rob called me because he got a care package at the truck stop ministry over here in Terrell. A care package from a group of Sunday school people and Life Points people that put together care packages back here on a Sunday morning and took them up there to the truck stop. He got this care package and he said, you know, I was talking with Brother Ricky. I love Brother Ricky. If you probably don't know Brother Ricky. Brother Ricky is the guy who leads that Terrell truck stop. He is a good old boy, and he reaches people for Jesus. And there at that truck stop, he ministers to people. He'll go there in the evenings and wait and have Bible studies with these truckers as they're coming in and they're stopping. They have worship over there on Sunday mornings for truckers coming through. And here's Rob Allen. And it was really, really interesting. He had just picked up a load in Cleburne, and he was on his way to Central Florida to Auburndale, which is about 20 minutes from my hometown. And we were talking about Auburndale, Florida, and how they were our bitter rivals there. And Rob said, you know, this week I was sitting there studying with Ricky, and we talked about Lazarus coming out of the tomb. We talked about Lazarus coming out of the grave. You know what made that possible? Jesus Christ. And he said, you know what? I've been really thinking about this and studying this about coming out of the cave. About coming out of the cave. And he said, I don't know why. I just needed to share that with somebody. And you know what? I am so thankful he did. When you have the opportunity to shine your light through making a care package, through being an example at work and how you do these different times and do these different things, we have an opportunity to shine Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. You have an opportunity to invite them to be a part of your life and to be a part of God, what God is doing. We have an opportunity to shine the light of who Jesus is. Shine the light. And all of this, the wisdom, the shining, it comes in this context of understanding the end time. And this is the wise will shine. What does it boil down to? It boils down to the fact that your radiance is dependent upon the reality of your redemption. Your radiance, your shining for Jesus Christ is dependent upon the reality of your redemption. If Jesus means nothing to you, you're not going to shine. But if Jesus means something to you, it's going to affect who you are and what you do. If what he has done for you in redeeming you and saving you from your sins and putting your feet on the straight and narrow and giving you power and breath when no one else could, it's going to do something to you. It's going to come out in your actions. It's going to come out in your life. It's going to come out in what you do. Your redemption must be that reality that makes a radiant beam of light from your life. And it comes through Jesus Christ. If you want to boil that down, changed people change people. You say, why couldn't you put that on the PowerPoint, all right? And all that big long, you know, changed people change people. When we have the opportunity to walk with God and allow him to change us and allow him to do something in us, we have the opportunity then to go and to share that with somebody else. Changed people change people. And when we allow that redemption of Jesus Christ to sink into us and to change us from day to day, you know what? We are going to shine that light. Sometimes we don't know what all that's going to do. Sometimes we don't know how all that's going to work out. But God asked us to shine, not worry about the logistics. He asked us to shine his light. To be that wise person that understands the end times and understands who Jesus Christ is and wants to have those written in the Lamb's Book of Life so that they might understand that Jesus is the way. This past week, I had the opportunity to go to chapel at Southwestern and the opportunity to read scripture there in chapel, and the speaker was a pastor in Frisco. His name was Afshin Ziafat. How about that? Afshin Ziafat. And he grew up in an Iranian home, which means he grew up a Muslim. He was born in Houston, Texas, and it was really funny. He said, you know, by my name, you can tell that I'm from Houston. Afshin Ziafat. He said, I grew up in Houston, Texas, and by the age of two, my dad, who was a doctor, moved us back to Iran. And from the ages of two to six, he grew up in Iran. He said, I grew up knowing Farsi. I didn't know English. And when he was 6 years old, the Iranian hostage crisis and all of this began to come, or you know, they began to have some civil wars and things in Iran. It began to get bad. His dad said, no, we're gonna come back. So at 6 years old, he comes back to the United States. They came back to Houston. And as they were there, they hired a teacher to come in to teach Afshin some English after school, a tutor. And she would come in and she would read to him. And she would teach him English and these different things. And he was sitting there just pouring out this testimony for us. And he said, you know, after we had gone through some times, he said, my English teacher, that tutor there told me, Afshin, you know, I've read lots of books with you, but I'm going to give you one book that you're not going to understand it all now, but I want you to keep it to one day you can read it and understand it. And she gave him a little New Testament. A little New Testament. And he took it there as he's in the second grade, and he didn't know what to do with it, so he kind of stashed it, and he said, you know what, I put it in my closet. 10 years down the road, he said there was a lot of different things going on in his life, a lot of things happening. And as he was there, he began having questions about Jesus, who is Jesus, and what about Jesus, and all these different things. And he said he went and started digging through his closet, remembering this little book that little English teacher gave him. And he takes that little book and he finds it at the bottom of his closet. He said, I began to read Matthew. I didn't understand everything it was saying. He'd get under his covers at night there in high school, and he would get under the covers with a flashlight and he would read scripture, knowing that his parents would not approve. His father would not approve of him reading the scripture, and he would read scripture. And then he said, I got to Romans and it changed me, that it comes through belief in Jesus Christ. And it started to sink in on him. Then he had a friend there in high school that he said he didn't quite understand what he was doing, but he said, hey, do you want to go with me to a crusade? And he said, that's a little difficult to ask a Muslim, hey, do you want to go with me to a crusade? And it doesn't really sound good to them. He said, do you understand what you're saying to me? He said, oh, no, it's not a crusade like that. They have free pizza. And he said, okay. And so they went. And he said, there at that crusade, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. He hid it from his dad for a year and a half until finally his father had figured out when he was skipping and going to church and doing these different things, and he sat him down and he said, you're going to have to choose. You're going to choose me or you're going to choose Jesus Christ. And Afshin said, I'm going to choose Jesus Christ. His father disowned him, and his testimony just continues to go on and on. It was interesting. I got to talk with him a little bit before the service, and just to hear how God has worked in his life. He went to college. He got his bachelor's degree. Then his dad said that I will allow you back into the family if you promise me that you will go to medical school and become a doctor. And he told his dad, he said, Dad, I just can't do it. I'm going to go to seminary. His dad said, what's seminary? He said, it's a school where you're going to be in the ministry. And his father disowned him. He went through all of this. And after he got done preaching, and it was just an incredible message, Dr. Patterson, he had got up and he turned over. And in front of the whole crowd, he asked him, he said, Afshin, that lady that gave you that Bible, does she know what's happened in your life? And he said, no, she passed away before I got a chance to be reconnected with her. But one day, I'm going to be reunited. And that's what it means to shine. That's what it means to let God live through us, that it's His redemption, that you're willing, you know what, to give a little New Testament to a little Muslim boy. That you're willing to shine the light of Jesus because of the reality of the redemption through Jesus Christ. And because we have this through Him, we have the opportunity to do something with it. You know, the sun burns bright because it burns hot. The sun burns bright because it burns hot. It's not a surface light. It's not what's on the outside. It's what's happening on the inside of the sun. All the little nuclear fission and reactions that's happening between hydrogen and helium. The sun burns at a 27 million degrees Fahrenheit in its core. And it burns bright because it burns hot. You want to shine? Be like those who are wise. Who have an understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And because of that understanding of who Jesus Christ is, we get hot for Him. We have a relationship with Him. You know what's interesting is I see this verse here in chapter 12 and verse 3. And it all points back to Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. But Daniel resolved. I memorized it in the King James. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. You see, Daniel burned bright because there was something on the inside. There was something that changes him. And today we have to go beyond the surface to understand what's on the inside of us. What is the reality of our redemption? Because, oh, when that sinks in, folks, we will shine. We will shine. This morning, before we come to our time of response, I want to put this in a practical application for you. For us in our church, we have an opportunity to shine every day. You know what? We're coming into a time of year where people are more open than ever. Because in a few weeks, we're going to celebrate Easter Sunday. You know, Easter Sunday is the easiest Sunday for you to invite somebody and they be willing to accept an invitation. Easter Sunday is an opportunity that we can invite somebody, that we can shine a light to say, hey, you know, why don't you come with me to church? Come with me. It's Easter. You know, we got to get dressed up and do something, but it's more than the egg hunt. It's more than all these things. Why don't you come with me to church? And we have an opportunity to shine our light by starting by inviting. People are more open to a personal invite than anything else. A personal connection of saying, why don't you come with me? Come sit with me. And let's start personally inviting people for Easter Sunday. Because that's the Sunday when we get to, as we do or have the opportunity every Sunday, but especially on that Sunday to give the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the one event that changes everything. Because our Savior's propitiation, His payment was paid in full, and it was effective because God raised Him from the dead. And if we're going to shine, let's start by making an invite. Let's start by telling somebody. Let's start by burning hot right here in the heart. And let's let Jesus do something from the inside out. Shall we stand? With our heads bowed. And just for a moment here, let's take a time and just really look inside and look at our hearts. Let's have a moment to apply this scripture to us. Those who are wise will shine. like the sky above. And as we have this time of response, this opportunity, I want us to take this time to just respond to God the way in which He's working right now. Are you burning hot for Him? Or has it grown a little cold? Are you acting as those that are wise and you're taking an understanding of the redemption through Jesus Christ and you're doing something with it? Or do other things have your attention right now? As we come to this time of invitation, it's a time for us to respond. It's a time for us to act. To worship the Lord by God, saying, I'm going to respond to You. I'm going to respond to Your Word. I'm going to respond to Your Spirit as it's moving in my heart and life this morning. And God, I just pray that right now that You would move as only You can. Lord, if there's someone here that needs to know Your salvation and know that their name is written in the book of life, I pray, Lord, that they would meet me right here. And Lord, that we might be able to show them how to know You as Savior. And Lord, I pray that You would help all of our hearts in this room today to burn bright for You. And we'll take this example from Daniel and all that he has done and all this prophecy and all these things that he has. It's all because he purposed in his heart and to share what You have planned. God, I pray that You would move now in this time as only You can. Help us, Lord, to burn and shine for You and to give You all the glory for it. For it's in Your name we pray.